Good morning, church.
We're reading this morning from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 37. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come to you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her who is said to be barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her.
It's time for our Roots kids to be dismissed. If you're a parent or a guardian of a kid from age 3 to 3rd grade who would like to go to a special time of worship, if you would escort them out to the hallway and sign them in, our Roots teacher will receive them there. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ.
Good morning. Good to be with you all today. In the Lord, I'll be ever thankful. In the Lord, I will rejoice. Look to God. Do not be afraid. Lift up your voices. The Lord is near. Lift up your voices. The Lord is near. If this Taze song had been around when Mary finished up her odd exchange with the angel, she might have sung it to herself or hummed it softly. Gabriel departs, and as Mary rewinds and replays the conversation several times so that the details are etched in, the song might have begun naturally in her mind and then off her lips, a simple song that she might have learned when she was an even younger girl than she is now, back when her mom and dad might have sung it over her as part of the bedtime routine, and she might have noticed how the lyrics to the song mirror the words of the conversation in the Lord, "Do not be afraid, the Lord is near." But Mary, unfortunately, did not have our Taze song available. What she did have, however, were her people's well-trod stories. Since she was Jewish, she was not lacking for narratives to draw on. Like how angel appearances were rare but not new in her faith tradition, the time in Genesis when the angel who stopped Abraham from sacrificing his son, Or when Jacob witnessed the angels climbing up and down the earth heaven ladder. And then there are the stories about how the condition of barrenness seemed to be the prerequisite for the matriarchs in the Jewish tradition, Rebecca, Hannah, and now, according to the angel, her relative Elizabeth. But the phrase Gabriel had used with her, "Nothing is impossible with God," that was spoken in one of the most prominent texts in all of her Hebrew scriptures that Mary would have known. It involved another barren woman, Sarah, a nonagenarian with an appreciation for good humor. Guests of Abraham informed him that his wife Sarah would give birth to a son within a year, and from that son a people, a nation, bent toward loving God and blessing the world. Sarah, eavesdropping on the conversation, laughed because she knew that no 90-year-old body was capable of such a feat. To which God said, "Is anything too difficult for the Lord?" Put another way, nothing is impossible with God. Which turned out to be true because many generations later, here is Mary, a living, breathing testimony of Sarah's womb. Whether she thought of Sarah's story or any other story is anyone's guess, of course. It's that shared phrase that sticks out. "Nothing will be impossible with God," is what Gabriel says to Mary. Nothing is impossible with God. Of all the incredible, unlikely, unpredictable things the angel says, this one for me outweighs them all. You are welcome to choose another of the rocket phrases if you'd like. "The Lord is with you. Do not be afraid. You will conceive a son. Of his kingdom there will be no end. The child born will be called the Son of God." For me, it's "Nothing is impossible with God." Even a day away from Christmas, when people are in the mood for miracles, "nothing is impossible" seems like too much to hope for. "Nothing is impossible" is such a large blanket statement, right? It keeps you warm and cozy and tucked in at night so that you can sleep. But come on, really, nothing is impossible? Sarah's snooping laughter becomes our own because we could list a couple dozen impossible things before I finish this sermon. I'm not talking about getting all the toys and gadgets and scratch-off tickets on our Christmas wish list either. I'm talking about all the things no rational person would ever ask for, like disharmony and dislocation and discrimination. Hurdles impossible to completely and finally jump. The impossibilities are endless, and the context of Gabriel's appointment with Mary does not seem to help. Look at the strange particulars God chooses. There is a particular time, the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. There is a particular place, a town in Galilee called Nazareth. There is a particular person, a virgin engaged to a man named Joseph. There is a particular ancestry, the line of David. If this story was brand new to us, the particulars might offend our sensibilities. But since it's old hat to us now, it doesn't. The particular time was not ideal. Old Elizabeth and old Zechariah may have gotten pregnant, but to bring a child into the world when that child would be nothing but an oppressed slave in Roman-run Israel, hard to see any positives in that. The place was not ideal. Nazareth being a backwoods, irrelevant village where nothing good ever happened. The person was not ideal, an unwed, unready teenager with a nothing fiancé who probably knew where babies came from, and he would know that this child was not from him. The particular ancestry was not ideal, not only because the line of David meant nothing in the current political landscape, but also because Israel in general had failed generationally to live into their God-given calling to represent God in the world. Nothing thus far gives us any sense of rising confidence that nothing is impossible with God. If God is going to enter the world as one of us, there are better ways of doing so. Namely, you start where the power is, at the very top, where you can have real influence to change something. Rev the engine, get some momentum, set new policies, clean house, expunge any enemies and naysayers and opposition leaders. Why this particular here and now and in her and in that failure of a people? You can't initiate a revolution like that. But Gabriel is insistent that nothing is impossible, just as he was with poor, priestly, unexpectant, mute Zechariah. The Lord is with you, Mary. Don't be afraid. You will conceive a son. Of his kingdom there will be no end. The child born will be called the Son of God. But how can this be, since I am a virgin, having never been with a man? Mary's question is valid, obviously. Given what she knows about creating a child, the news is quite startling to her. How can this be? Behind this question are all the other questions she does not ask, but are bursting at the seams. What do I tell my parents? Will they still love me? Will Joseph stick around? Will anybody believe me? Won't I be disgraced within the community? Who will help me? All this happening within her body, without her foreknowledge, without her prior approval, without the details of exactly how it will all play out, without knowing all the utter heartache that would ensue, without being in charge. How will this be, since I am a virgin? It will be, Gabriel explains, because nothing is impossible with God. With that, Mary says in the darkness of faith, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." "Here I am," Mary responds to the angel of God, who disappears as mysteriously as he appeared. I love the Taze song that we sang today. It's my favorite of the Taze songs that we have sung this month. As I've reflected on this Mary text in preparation for today, as I've tried to hear afresh this too familiar story, this song is what I have found myself singing aloud. In the Lord I'll be ever thankful. In the Lord I will rejoice. Look to God. Do not be afraid. Lift up your voices. The Lord is near. Lift up your voices. The Lord is near. For 4 short weeks, we've been pressing into Advent hope, singing carols, waiting, watching, expecting, lighting candles, sharing communion. For 4 short weeks, the birth of Christ has been on our minds, anticipating the lights of the God that is to come into the world. Some of us have been waiting longer than that, having years of practice, eyes familiar with the night, scanning the horizon for signs of the new day. And now we are one day away, the eve of Christmas, Mary's labor pains starting in earnest, Joseph struggling to find a bed for his bride-to-be, angelic choirs warming up their voices, the nativity set, eggnog chilling in the fridge, stockings carefully hung wherever stockings are hung where there is no chimney, presents tucked under the tree or packed in the car for the journey across town. One day to go, and Jesus will be born yet again into the creation that bears his likeness. One more day, and all of our waiting will collapse again into the realization that, as David Pipes most years and Brian Pipes this year reminds us, that God does not stand at a distance waiting for us to come to him. God has instead come all the way to us in the very same way all of us canaled into the world. Jesus, Emmanuel, God and Jesus has come very near. That is good news. Let us sing our Taze song together again.
In the Lord I'll be ever thankful. In the Lord I will rejoice. Look to God, do not be afraid. Lift up your voices, the Lord is near. Lift up your voices, the Lord is near.
We know it's true. God with us, the Lord is near. Or we trust that it's true, or we want it to be true. Either way, it's nice to have a companion accustomed to waiting. Mary's been there and done that, though in our text this morning, her waiting has just begun. There's much to fear in her waiting, like trying to convince her family and Joseph what had happened, or trying to convince herself that the encounter with the angel really did happen. Maybe the biggest fear of all is waiting to see exactly how much her life is about to change. Mary's life, planned, arranged, known, changes at this point, and she knows it. It's a holy disruption that befalls her, a visit from God she did not expect, in a time and a town and a person and lineage that no one else did either. How can this be? Mary asks. It's the very question we've all asked 100 times. How can this be? I just had lunch with her yesterday. How can this be? My life was just fine before he walked in. How can this be? I've done everything right. How can this be? There is no justice. Disruptions in our own lives, holy or not, zero in with little heads up and we are changed. Gabriel predicts Mary's shock at the jarring news, and he says the same thing he told to Zechariah, the same phrase that's found over 100 times in the Bible. Do not be afraid. Mary, do not be afraid. You have found favor with God. Don't be afraid. Look to God. Look to God and don't be afraid. God is with you. The Lord is near, even here, even now, even in you. Does anyone need to hear that today? Do not be afraid. God's presence, come joy, come loss, whatever may pass, God's presence is with you. Let's sing again.
In the Lord I'll be ever thankful. In the Lord I will rejoice. Look to God, do not be afraid. Lift up your voices, the Lord is near. Lift up your voices, the Lord is near.
On the one hand, Mary is just a frightened and perplexed girl, the weight of humanity on her shoulders. On the other hand, she is also now the mother of the Son of God, with faith that can fill the seas with tossed mountains. Here I am, Mary says, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. Here I am, she says. A wonderful reminder that perhaps our greatest task as followers of the coming Christ is to remain attentively present right where we are. Here I am, she says. And she accepts the calling as only mothers can, allowing space in her own body to create capital L life. Here I am, she says to Gabriel and to God, something she'll have to repeat over and over and over her entire life as it unfolds in delight and tragedy. Here I am is the response of obedience, of willingness, even reluctantly, to let go of actual and perceived consequences and to trust a bigger picture. That is what Mary is doing. Not because of the immediate evidences, not because God's plan makes complete sense, not because it shows a high likelihood of success. She is trusting at the deepest level possible that God is up to something, that God's Spirit is on the move, that hidden life may yet start kicking on the inside. If God can give a child to an aged couple and Sarah and Abraham, and through them change the world, then maybe God can give an unorthodox baby to a teenage mom and change it even more. If God can do that, then maybe as Jesus grows up and lives and dies and lives again, people will submit in obedience to His unorthodox way of doing things, growing up, living, dying, living. And if God can form a people like that and change the world even further, then maybe the angel is indeed correct that nothing, nothing is impossible with God. And Mary believes it. Soon enough, she will lift up her voice in the beautiful song known as the Magnificat, just a few verses after ours today, and declare that the great reversal is now at hand. My soul glorifies the Lord, the song begins. See the mighty things God has done. Gabriel's voice has just done the same. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. We lift up our voices too. Here I am. Here we are. And we watch and wait actively, attentively, without fear, with intention, with love, with hope, with each other, with thanks, with rejoicing, all for the one who was and is to come, because nothing is impossible with God. And therefore we sing, we lift our voices one more time with this song.
In the Lord I'll be ever thankful. In the Lord I will rejoice. Look to God, do not be afraid. Lift up your voices, the Lord is near. Lift up your voices, the Lord is near.
Thanks be to God. Let's stand as we continue to worship together.
Assemble on the mountain, we shall assemble at the throne, with humble hearts into his presence. We bring an offering of song, glory and honor and dominion, unto the Lamb, unto the King. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. We sing the song of the redeemed.